Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be on God's glorious earth. Welcome to Balance Point. What a glorious day we are living in when the love of God and the presence of His Holy Spirit surrounds us. And what a glorious time that we live in where we have such great and awesome opportunity to study the Word of God and to meditate upon His precepts. Before we get started in our study, and today we are in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This is part one of chapter 5 of the Gospel of Luke. And I've continued the title Healing Ministry for this session because we're going to be looking at the calling of the first disciples. And we're going to look at how Jesus, in the calling of them, heals their vision of themselves. And so this is still technically, in my mind, a ministry of healing. And so we're going to dig in Luke chapter 5. I don't know why I keep wanting to go to the Gospel of Mark. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And we're continuing to read from the New King James. And we're probably going to be switching to the Lexham English Bible. I'm finding that I'm enjoying that translation for my personal devotions. But for now, we're still reading in the New King James. And by way of announcements, I want to remind everybody that if you're on the Balance Point website, you can also find these videos on the Balance Point Facebook page. The audio only is available on the Balance Point website. And we are actually going to be reviving our discussion group on Facebook in the Balance Point group, which is different than our page. And depending on the interest that is there, we will be considering doing like live Bible discussion. Maybe creating rooms where we can do live Bible discussion. Because you know what? This is an important time that God has given us. And He's given us the opportunity now, believe it or not, to really activate our faith and to really activate our activity. Because we have been stripped of the ability to be a passive audience within the church. And in fact, that's part of what this section is about. No longer being a passive person within the church, rather becoming activated in our faith and in our activity. And so before we dig into the word, let us begin, as we always do, by bowing our hearts in prayer. Father God, we come before You with much appreciation, acknowledging that You are the God of the universe, that You are in total control, acknowledging that You love us, that You care for us, acknowledging that You desire for us to know You and to know You more and more and more. And Father God, as we come together, we thank You that You do not leave us as ignorant orphans, but rather that You have given us the Word of life, Your Son Jesus. And that You have given us the historical document, the Bible. Thank You, Father God, for these things that You have done in the mighty name of Your Son Jesus. And all of God's children said amen. Luke chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1. So it was as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. We know it also as the Sea of Galilee. Here's the first thing that I want us to notice. When God's word is being taught, and when God's word is being proclaimed without twisting, without error, without an agenda, people will gather. You see, at this time, when Jesus was walking the shores of the Galilee, there was a hunger for the word of God. At some point, the very loud prophetic voice had dwindled to a quiet whisper. And so, with the appearance of Jesus' relative, John the Baptist, proclaiming, "Prepare a way for the Lord," that was the first loud prophetic voice that was recorded. Now, I believe that God never leaves a time when he does not have prophets on the scene speaking his heart. But it is not all the time that those prophets are heard and heeded. And so when a true prophet of God steps onto the scene, where his teaching is plain from the heart of the Father, and he is not in an agenda for himself, the hunger that God places in each and every person begins to bubble up, begins to rise up. And if that is a true word of God, two things are going to happen. One, it's going to draw a crowd. And the second thing that's going to happen is it's going to draw opposition. Jesus is in the crowd phase, as it was a multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. That's a good thing. And so watch what. He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. So these are fishermen. They finished their shift. And in fact, in those days, they would fish at night. And then in the morning, they would bring their catch in, sell their catch, mend and wash their nets, get everything ready so they could go out the next night. And so this is the end of their work day. This is the end of their work day. They're like, you know, pardon the worldly saying, it was Miller time. It was getting near on to Miller time. They had done their work for the day. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. This is Simon Peter. Now, let me explain this relationship. Simon and his brother Andrew were partners in a fishing business. They were also partners with the brothers James and John, the sons of Zebedee. So the four of them are in business together. That's why there are multiple boats. And we learn this from the other Gospels. I'm not going to switch and move to those references. But if you read the parallel accounts in Matthew and in Mark, well, Mark doesn't really cover this, but Matthew and John, you understand that these were four partners. And so these partners that put in their day. And Jesus comes along and he gets into their business. He gets into the boat. And that is so like God. You see, God is so concerned about you and about me, and about our lives and our livelihoods, that God often will come along and get into our boat. And let me ask you, what does your boat look like? What is it that you do for a living? you know, this the Bibles, you know, they, this is not biblical, but these are like headings that Bibles will often put into the text. First, disciples are called. Let me ask you, what are you called to? Now, here in the 21st century, you know, we've inherited this idea that calling relates to ministry. Calling relates to something in the church. But that's not all that calling can relate to. And God can get into what you do in your life, for your livelihood. Calling could be simply something as simple as, what are you called to do? I think of my mom. My mom was a school teacher. She taught school for the better part of 40 years. She was an administrator. She was a master teacher. That meant that she was teaching the new teachers. And the thing is my mom was called to be a teacher. Her gifts, her talents, her interests, from the time that she was a little girl playing school, she would always be the teacher. That was her calling. What my mom didn't realize until we had some conversations, because for several years I would talk to my mom as I would be driving into my day job. She didn't realize that that calling was also a ministry. You see, what you do in your daily life can be your service to God. First off, are you doing your job as an act of worship? In other words, God made it possible for you to have the gifts, skills, and talents to do your job. God opened the door for you to do, for you to get that job. Is not God worth the effort for you to do the best at your job? You see, when we apply worth to a person or an object, the applying of worth is worship. So, do you worship God in your job? Do you even let God get into your job? Here's a funny thing, and this is I can only tell on myself. I don't like to tell on other people because sometimes they get a little bit uncomfortable when I tell their stories. So I tell my story. Most of my life and most of my career, I have worked in libraries. Every now and then I'll do a little retail stuff. But I've worked in libraries for the majority of my life. And usually, I've been on the book slinging end of working in the library. I've either worked in the circulation department, checking out books, you know, shelving books, supervising those that do the checkouts and the shelving, you know, mending books. That's been the majority of my career. And when I came to understand my relationship with God, my attitude towards my day job changed. And it became, this is an act of worship. Just as much as showing up on Sunday morning and singing the five songs and listening to the 50-minute sermon is an act of worship, my job can be an act of worship. And so what I purposed in my heart to do was to do my job, not so I was doing it for my supervisor and my annual review, but to offer it as a sacrifice to God. I allow God to come into my job. And so everything that I strive to do is an act of worship. I strive to do it to the best of my ability. And so I allow God to get into the boat of my job. And that's what Jesus did. That's what these fishermen did. These fishermen allowed Jesus to get into their boat. And he asked them to put out a little from land. Why? And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. He sat down in the boat and he taught. How is this parallel to our job? When we allow Jesus, when we allow the Father to get into the boat of our job, he will separate us from the crowd. And through our work, he will teach the Word of God. So I start the story about how in the library I dedicated to make my work an act of worship. Well, nearly 15 years back, I had transitioned to another department in a library, and I was actually not on the public side facing side of the library, but I was on the back end technical side of the library. I was a person who actually processed in the new books, the new journals in the law library. And because I had purposed in my heart that everything I would do would reflect an act of worship, I was careful about how I did my job. Now, I wasn't careful to the point of being so slow that nothing got done. But I was mindful of my work. I was mindful of how I did my work. I was mindful of being consistent in my work and showing up to work and doing the work. Being consistent in how much we processed through, how much we processed out. Being consistent in making sure that everything was being done properly. And I didn't tell anybody why I was doing this. I didn't broadcast, hey, I'm Dan, I'm a Christian, I work hard because I'm a Christian. No, I simply did my job to the best of my ability. Well, one day, I'm at work, and I'm actually out in the stacks because we were actually short of help. So it was one of the rare times when I was actually out amongst the bookshelves and not in a back room processing. And so I was out in the stacks, and I was actually exchanging some volumes because volumes had been superseded. And one of the professors in the university walked up to me and made a comment to the effect that, wow, you know, the library is really well taken care of, and I notice that when stuff comes out, you know, it's been processed in a very precise way, and it seems like things that were done sloppy in previous times were being done with much more care. And I simply looked at him, I smiled, and I said, yes, they are being done with more care. And then he asked the $64,000 question. How is that that came about? Remember, Jesus got into one of their boats. He got into their place of livelihood. And he put out a little from land. He got separated from the multitudes because of being in that place of a job. And he taught them the Word of God. Watch this. I allowed God into the boat of my library work. God allowed me to be separated because I used to be in public services and he moved me into tech services. He allowed me to be separated a little ways away so that through the example of my work, through the boat, a conversation was opened up about how and why the library was being taken care of the way it was, which then allowed me to verbalize the worship of God that I'd been putting into the worship of God through the processing of library materials. And so it allowed me to be able to allow God to teach through my work. Have you allowed God into your daily job? Now, I have one story that I can tell. It's from another person by the name of Dan. And this Dan is a drummer at one of our churches. He plays drums at one of our churches. His day job is, he is a carpenter. He's a Finnish carpenter. I've told this story many times. And one of the things that he mentioned, because, you know, we would, you know, kind of have fellowship time when we would be practicing to prepare for midweek worship, because that's primarily when he played. And we were talking about our jobs, and we were talking about the attitude that we have at our jobs. And he mentioned that he used his Finnish carpentry as an act of worship. And he did the best work that he could do, often leading to conversations about why he did such fine work. Why he did such fine work. And he said on more than one occasion, the detail that he paid attention to and worked elicited a comment that allowed the conversation to turn towards his love of God and towards all the things that God had done for him. And I think that's powerful. And I better move on, because there's so much more in this section. So verse 4, when he, that's Jesus, has stopped speaking, said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Which brings me to my next point. Often God's instructions don't make a lick of sense in the natural. Think about this. Before Jesus commandeered the boat to teach, these fishermen had been finishing up their day. They had come in, they were mending their nets, washing nets, they were ready to go home, get some dinner or whatever you would eat at that time of day after a hard night of work. And Jesus says, launch into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And watch Simon's response. Simon answered and said to him, Master, it's interesting that he's calling Jesus Master, and Jesus hasn't called him yet. We have toiled all night and caught nothing. How often is it that we, as Christians, toil day and night and we catch nothing? Why? Because we weren't doing it at the instruction of the Master. And that's true in our vocation, what we do for a living. And that's true in our avocation, what we do for Jesus. Often we toil and turn up nothing. But watch what Simon says. We've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, because you have said it, I will let down the net. The instruction didn't make sense. They fished at night. This is the middle of the day. They caught nothing that night. And he said, okay, because you said to do it, God, I'm going to do it because you said to do it. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And their net was breaking. Which brings me to the next point. When we follow the leading of God, often the blessing will be to overflowing. Often the blessing will be to overflowing. And I think that is cool. God will bless us to overflowing. That net was going to break because Jesus spoke. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. Often God's blessing requires help to receive, which brings me to my next point. Blessings from God are not solo events. Blessings from God are meant to be shared. You know, God has blessed me with the ability to understand His Word and to rightly divide His Word. His Holy Spirit has been upon me to be able to teach His Word. And that's cool because I get so much out of the Word when I read. But God didn't bless me just for me to understand. God blessed me with the ability to explain things so that others understand. It's not just the Word. I do that in technology as well. We are blessed to share the blessing. And so they signal to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats. So that they began to sink. Wow. You see, God doesn't just give us crumbs. When God blesses us, He blesses us fully. Often we don't recognize the blessing. And often we see what God is using as a blessing as a problem. Think of I hate to bring up current events during these messages because then it dates the message. But right now it's the middle of 2020 and we are still in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, political uproar, all of that. And God has blessed us with an opportunity during the past, at this point, it's been 4 months that we've been under some sort of quarantine, lockdown, whatever. And it seems like our boats are sinking. And yet this time is a blessing from God. It's a time for us to be able to slow down, to be able to reflect. I am so grateful for this time. I'm going to be honest. I love my job. I love being around the people that I work with. But I am not looking forward to 2 hours a day commuting to and from. I'm not looking forward to people rushing around, not caring about each other. And so this is a blessing, but to some, this blessing is a blessing to sinking. But watch this. Watch Peter's response to this great blessing. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Jesus, Peter, in the midst of his blessing, recognized his sinfulness. And that's the thing about God. There's a reason why I don't teach and I don't preach a lot of hell, fire, and brimstone. There's a reason. And the reason that I don't bother teaching hell, fire, and brimstone is because we already know we're sinners. We already know that we are wrong. We already know that we have turned away from God. We already know those things deep down in our spirit, whether we want to admit to it consciously or not. Unless our conscience has been seared and has been so scarred that we don't feel good and evil anymore, we know that. Instead, I present the goodness of God, which, to be really honest, cuts through to the soul a lot faster and a lot more effectively than the anger of God. And so Peter has just seen the goodness of God. And he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." He knows that he knows at this point that there is something very different about this man Jesus compared to himself. Verse 9, "And he and all that were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had made. And also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon and Simon's brother Andrew. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.'" or the famous way of putting it, the way the King James puts it, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Fear not. We don't need to be afraid of God. The only ones that need to be afraid of God are those who have rejected God. And even they don't need to be afraid of God, because you know what God's answer is to those who reject him? Okay. That's God's answer. You rejected me, you reject the bounty, you reject the blessings. Okay. Live on your own. Which to me is way more frightening than having him angry at me. So when they brought in their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed him. They left it all behind. At the greatest point of earthly blessings, these fishermen walked away. By the way, if you're wondering, what happened to all the fish? Well, they sold them. We don't know what was done with that money, but I suspect that that was probably the seed money that allowed Jesus and the disciples to travel from town to town. The Bible doesn't say that. But I just believe in my heart that Jesus, that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit were providing for the ministry. But I want to back up for just a second. He says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. From now on, you will be the net that will be used to bring men out of the sea of despair. From now on, you will be the net that will bring men out of the sea of shame. From now on, you will be the net that will bring men out of the sea of anguish. From now on, you will be the net that will bring men out of the sea of anger. From now on, you will be the net that will bring men out of the sea of spiritual poverty. From now on. So I ask you again, have you allowed Jesus into the boat of your life? Have you allowed Jesus into the boat of your day job? You know, it's funny, I've let, you know, and I don't count the folks that I've worked with being an altar worker in various churches. But here's something funny about my life. I've been a preacher of the gospel now for almost 30 years, both in online forums and in traditional brick and mortar churches. I've been a minister of the good news through music, through theater, through preaching and teaching, to adults, to youth. And in all truthfulness, I've led more people to the Lord outside of the four walls of the church than I have inside the four walls of the church. Yeah, I've led people in the sinner's prayer inside a church. But you know what? The leading to the Lord was done by the sermon that was preached that brought him forward. But seriously, I've led more people to the Lord outside the four walls of the church. I've led more people to the Lord via the internet, via personal face-to-face contact, talking in grocery stores. And so I ask you, is Jesus in the boat of your life when you're not in these four walls? And are you willing to give up everything? They gave up everything. They gave up their livelihoods. They stepped away from their families for extended periods of time. They gave up everything. And when the passage says they gave up all and followed him, they gave up some of the stuff that was the hardest to give up. I mean, it's relatively easy to give up your material station in life. Let's face it. That's pretty easy. You know, it's probably fairly easy to walk away from your family. I mean, yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit, but honestly, that's pretty easy. But the passage doesn't say that they forsook their jobs and their family. It says they forsook all. That means that there was stuff inside of their heads and inside of their hearts that they forsook. And let me tell you, it is way harder to leave behind something that's been in your heart, that's grown around your heart. That is way more difficult than to leave a home. Yeah, there might be some sadness when you leave that home, but it's a building. You move into another one. It may be difficult to walk away from friends and family, but you know what? As we go through life, we gain more friends and family. Much harder is to walk away from notions about ourselves, to forsake those things, to lay those things down, and to follow Christ, and to follow behind the teacher, who's also the healer. To lay down the things that we've held on to, the past hurts. And be open to the world of the kingdom of God. To lay down the selfishness. This is me. This is mine. To lay down the pride and the envy, and to follow him in love. Those things are hard. Way harder than leaving a job. Way harder than leaving a family. And yet they did it. Today I challenge you, my brothers and sisters, to forsake it all. To sell it all out. To sell it all out. Give your day job to the Lord and work with all of your might in it. That whatever it is that you do that pays bills might also preach the gospel. I challenge you to forsake it all and to lay down the hurts, the past hurts, both to yourself and historical hurts. Lay it down. Lay it down. I challenge you. I challenge myself to do that. I challenge myself to lay aside everything that is not focused on bringing glory to the King. I challenge myself to lay down everything that is not focused on everything I do being a preaching of the gospel. I challenge myself to all of those things. I challenge myself. Why? So that we might catch men. So that we might be the fishers, the nets that bring in the hurting, that they might be comforted. That we might bring in the sick, that they might be healed, that we might bring in the low, that they might be lifted up. Father God, we thank you for this time in your word, and we ask in the mighty name of Jesus for your praise and your glory to spill out in all areas of our life, not just our mouth, but our hands, and not just our hands, but our attitude. Thank you, Father God, for this time in your word. Thank you, Father God, for your people. I ask that you would bless them in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. We love hearing from those of you that are touched by the Balance Point Ministries, and we invite you to contact us. You can contact us in a variety of ways. We have email, staff@balance-point.org. You can message us through our Facebook page, Balance Point CC on Facebook. You can message us through our Facebook group, which is Balance Point Christian Communities Group. You can message us through YouTube on our YouTube channel, Balance Point Church. That's also our Gmail address, balancepointchurch@gmail.com. You can snail mail us. We love hearing what God is doing in your lives and through your lives. And we want to celebrate with you. If you have prayer needs, all of those methods are also great for contacting us for prayer needs. And so we just pray that God would bless you this week until we come together again. We're going to be studying a pretty big chunk of the chapter 5 in the next study. If you want to read ahead, we're going to be studying from verse 12. Through verse 26 in our next study. In the meantime, may you be richly blessed, and may you know the comfort of the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.